from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Yep. Happy first day of August. Happy first day of NFL. Not technically, because it's going to be a bunch of second and third string guys, but Brad's got me hyped. He was kind of hyping me up coming in here. It'll still be Chicago Bears in uniform, still be the Houston Texans in uniform when they meet tonight in the Hall of Fame game. NFL is back, even if it's just preseason. You guys know if you listen to the show, John and I are very excited about that. It's also, John, I hope you're going to vote. It's Election Day. Have you voted?
Is it? I don't think it is Election Day for me. Is it?
It's Election Day here, and second Election Day of Shelby County.
I did early voting. Okay, I voted early.
You can vote as long as you live in Shelby County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be getting confused now.
It's understandable because this is our second of three this year.
Yeah.
But they've been getting calls, the DM, about whether this was the one that we're voting for Kamala or Trump.
Oh, my goodness.
People are confused.
Now, that is embarrassing.
That's not till November.
Yeah, that's
so we want to straighten out anybody that's listening today that saw that it's Election Day, want to straighten it out.
Yeah.
Be doing that later on in November.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay?
Mm. Good, thank you.
Do have some, you know, senator seats up.
Yeah.
Senate seats up, those kinds of
things. Judges and stuff like that.
Yeah, got that all up. Happy Election Day. Congratulations to those who have voted and to those who plan to vote. Exercise your right. Exercise your right. It doesn't feel like John's going to do that today.
Yeah. And also, ban the Electoral College.
Yeah, that's been John's mission. Mm-hmm.
I think we should...
He was texting it to me last week.
We should weigh everyone's vote equally.
But let me tell you something. There's been a new energy, hasn't there?
There sure has.
There's been a change since we were talking about banning the Electoral College, hasn't there?
Yes, I still want to do it, but yes.
Your main charged it up, too, yesterday. Oh, boy. We're not a political show. I saw John's eyes there. He got a little scared. Careful.
That was one of the...
He thought we were going to dip into it.
That was one of the all-time moments. That was one of the all-time moments.
I've been to an NABJ conference.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I know what those are like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are a bunch of aspiring... Some of them proven journalists already doing it. You know, ABC's folks are there.
Right.
Handling, you know. But you've also got a bunch of aspiring journalists. What a scene.
What a scene. Trump got he got sent out. He got sent out.
Who said this is going to be which member of his team,
man,
said this is a good idea?
The same member of the Democratic team that decided it was a good idea to debate with Joe Biden.
Fired!
Yeah. No question.
Bro. Okay, yeah. That's probably... We get it. How about that Ledecky?
Man, that was amazing.
Ledecky!
That was amazing.
And she's going to do it again in 2028.
I mean,
she says she is.
Is she really?
She says she's going to go for it. She's going to try to go for it. I mean, do you see how far out ahead? Was this the 1500? Whatever.
Yes.
It puts you to sleep. It's so long.
Oh, it's so long.
Nobody can do it like her.
It's crazy.
She's swimming one way. The others are going the other way. How come she can't last till 28? I know John's been locked in. He's been venturing out to the other Olympic sports.
I saw that.
I know. I know you have. And I'm proud of you.
I mean, I could not believe, like, I was like, I turned it on. I was like, man, nice start for Katie Ledecky. And then I went to sleep, and then I woke up, and she was still swimming. I mean, she was still swimming after I got a full 8 hours in.
You only go it's 50 each way, right? So it takes a long time.
Bro, the stamina and the shape you have to be in.
She said she drifted off and had daydreams while swimming.
That's insane.
She thought about everybody that had contributed to her greatness. She's the best women's swimmer we've ever produced.
No
so
doubt.
Know that she's the Phelps of women's swimming for us.
I mean, yeah.
And she apparently will go on to 28. It's very impressive.
Yeah, that was quite remarkable.
And we need the golds.
We do. We need them. We're kind of lacking right now.
We're behind there.
We're not going to get them in 3x3, 3-on-3 basketball.
If we were using your point system that your listener brought up yesterday, we'd probably be losing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because hadn't somebody else gone up to 5 more golds ahead of us, China or somebody? Yeah, I thought so. I kind of been watching.
Yeah, so if you did, let's just put this exercise to test right now, right? So if you did 3-2-1 point system for the Olympics, China would have 33 for gold, they would have 14 for silver, and they would have 3 for bronze. So 33, 14, 3. What's that, 50?
Wouldn't, 33, 40, it sounded like 56 off the top of my head.
No, it's just 1 point for bronze.
Oh, I was adding up 33,
14, 3.
Yes, that's 47.
Plus 3.
50.
Look at us. Who knew?
It took too long.
All right, then for America, 6 times 3 is 18.
Yes.
13 times 2 is 26, plus 12.
38.
Okay, 38 plus 12.
50.
So we'd be tied. We'd be tied if we were doing a point system.
So not as sad as maybe it looked.
We're in a dog race here.
Like
we're
like 5-0. Come on, we want more golds, though.
Did that math sound okay?
Yes.
That's okay. Total black math. It passed, but we were slow.
I mean, yeah.
And I think John has slowed me down. No, Tola was great.
Yeah.
She's great. She's who brought John along in math. Thank God for her.
Yeah.
I heard.
So LaRon's Black's mom.
Real quick, I did hear that you can opt not to take certain parts of the ACT now. Is that true?
What?
I heard science is optional now. I thought I heard that.
Okay, don't get too sidetracked here, but that is interesting.
Yeah.
So it's optional.
Yeah.
Like a player option.
Yeah, I knew I was right. There's no starting in 2025 for school day 2025 for online, 2026 for school day. Science section will not be required, and the test will be an hour shorter.
I'm just going to tell my kid to disregard science in
school. Why would you care? Why it doesn't? It doesn't.
Why do we care if it's not going to help?
In a couple of seminars I've seen, that's not the ideal strategy. You want to compete a little bit in those spaces against kids, depending on what you want to do.
What if it's a weak? Separate, what if it's a weak field? What if you're weak
yourself.
There though? What if you're?
It depends
weak?
On geography if you're talking about colleges.
Yeah, I can see that.
So in other words, if I kill you in it and you didn't participate, and I'm the geo zone for said university, got you rather than you get me.
Yeah, you're not getting into Georgia Tech or Stanford if you don't take the science part of the ACT. But I'm just saying, if I could have said if the math was optional, I would have gotten a lot of scholarships. I really would have.
Yeah.
You know, because I did
well.
Not
going there.
English and the reading. But anyway.
You can tell I'm in the middle of it.
Anyway. It's a big day here on the show. We have some very discomforting news from ESPN.
Oh, no.
I guess more of an opinion than anything else. And the most anticipated Memphis football season in history.
Say it. It's fact.
It may not be so for some on the national scale. So we'll talk about that. Drew Hill going to join us at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal covers Memphis football will join us, and we'll talk to him about Memphis football. Seth Hennigan changed his number?
Hair as well.
Hair? Anything else?
I'm not going to. He was sounding, Silfield sounded a little crazy out there yesterday. Said it's not hot enough.
Okay. All right. So we'll.
He said that was an easy heat yesterday. He said he wants more. Who said that? Who said they wanted hotter? Was it Mike McDaniel or something?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Somebody. I mean, that's, come on.
I thought Mike Norvell used to talk about how he was like a B or something.
Maybe it was Norvell.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't. He didn't say it.
No, I'm talking about an NFL guy, Mike McDaniel or something. Somebody said they wanted it hotter, you know, when it was already hot.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I'm failing you here. We'll find out.
Sorry.
But
yeah, the first day of practice in the books yesterday.
That's right.
They got some good news. We'll talk to Joan Dillon about
it. And it's officially August, which means it's game month. So we'll get into all of that here.
I saw Simmons Bank. It's a wow. Saw it yesterday. I was out there. Did you see my tweet?
I did. I did. It was shocking,
isn't it? I didn't. I don't know which one you meant. It looks like Godzilla came through there.
Yeah,
and just left the press box in that section, but cleared out two sections. It's It's jarring. And Jeff said that he's right. When you see it, it's jarring. And now there's been much more progress, obviously, in terms of the renovations. I don't know. Maybe the adjustment, you said, will be tougher.
You feel comfortable getting on that elevator going up?
Ain't nobody getting on that elevator going up now. That part looks like it could fall over any time.
I guess
they're keeping that as part of the, you know, the press box coming down and out or whatever. But, I mean, why you would have already destroyed that, you would think, if you're not keeping a good portion of that, that structure that's under the press box, if you get my picture.
Envision
it for those who didn't see the picture. Anyway.
And this is where
I'm here to tell you progress is happening over at Simmons Bank.
And this is where that party plaza will go, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm envisioning.
Yeah, it's hard to visualize it when it's just, you know, nothing but rubble.
You can literally see right into the other side of the stadium, which has never been possible. You see what I'm saying, Mother?
Correct.
See the other side of it.
Yeah.
Right there at the base.
No, I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, it's...
And we're going to play through that. So maybe, you know, and they're keeping it watered down so it's not dusty over there. But you just wonder with the game so close.
Right.
That game day experience is going to be different because just the sight itself is jarring.
Right. Well, maybe this is equally jarring. Up at ESPN.com, Heather Dinich has a piece up about the football season ahead. 30 teams that can reach the playoffs. Now, as we know, we're expanding to a new format this year. 12 teams make the college football playoff. You have your, your ACC champ, SEC champ, Big 12 champ, Big 10 champ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the best group of five, the best highest-ranked team from the group of five. And then, you know, your at-larges, right, that are all going to go to SEC and Big Ten teams. Right? So we know the score there.
Notre Dame, likely.
Exactly, them too, yeah. Can Memphis be, it is Memphis, one of the 30 teams that can reach the postseason, according to Heather Dinich? The answer? No. Now, I'll say this. I just got done doing a top 25 list for top, you know, Memphis athletes since 2000. And I definitely made some mistakes. I posted my ballot, full transparency.
Oh, yeah, we get to see some of the conversation behind the scenes tomorrow, I heard.
Yes.
Good.
I wanted to be as transparent as possible. It's not perfect. I made some mistakes. And honestly, a part of that is just because – you know, your mind just slips, right? You forget, oh, damn, I missed Tony Pollard. Damn, I missed Thad Young. Damn, I missed XYZ. You know, like, you just, and then by then it's too late, right? So it's hard to do. And I think I will leave a possibility for Heather Dinich that happened here, although I think it's unlikely. I think it's pretty unlikely because Memphis is one of those teams.
Oh, it's unlikely. Yes, she mentioned it. Yeah, definitely unlikely. Yeah.
Yeah, because she actually.
Not same scenario.
She mentions Memphis.
Right.
In the blur because she has UTSA. As one of the 30 instead of Memphis that can make the college football playoffs. This is what she writes about UTSA. The Roadrunners should have more in-conference competition in the American than Boise State, which is likely to have an edge over Fresno and San Diego State in the Mountain West. UTSA, in its second season of the AAC, will get a stronger challenge from Tulane and Memphis for the conference title. UTSA coach Jeff Traylor, who's entering his fourth year, has made the program a conference contender, but there are questions this fall after the departure of key veterans, including 7-year QB Frank Harris. So that is, you know, she goes through like what the committee will like, what the committee won't like. But again, she clearly has Memphis behind UTSA in her power rankings, which I find quite interesting and wrong. But, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I imagine when you saw this, you had to be a little bit surprised.
Well, I dug in a little bit deeper for the reason. It's a computer reason. She's taking what the computers say. Because if you read the part about toughest test, yes, it's for UTSA. It says September 14th in Texas. But here's the key. She points out how this is similar to Boise State's matchup with Oregon, and that ESPN's FPI, which is their, you know, probability index, whatever the heck you call it, but the, in terms of picking wins, projects UTSA is going to, here's the key, will win every game on its schedule but the game against Texas, which includes its home game against Memphis. So it is giving UTSA, which was picked, this is not far-fetched, because remember, UTSA was picked second in the preseason media poll in the AAC, and I know, you know, Frank's gone, everything else, Mr. Do-It-All quarterback, but it is still, and she points out, still trailer down there. And so, you know, they're taking UTSA over Memphis and going off the computers that say UTSA will win every other game on its schedule. That means every conference game. That means your conference champion.
Correct.
So that's essentially what they're doing here. Memphis, they point out, has a chance. They say Memphis Tulane going to challenge for the conference title. We know that Memphis was picked in terms of first place votes by a pretty wide margin. They're taking, Heather took what the computers said, which is like Boise State. That UTSA is only going to lose its one big out-of-conference game and going to run the table everything else.
Yep.
So that's why they picked UTSA over.
No, I mean, it actually makes some logical sense.
You could, I mean, you know, it's not, I'll put it that way. It's not out of the, it's not far-fetched at all that UTSA could win this. Remember, Memphis's three toughest, you know, conference games are all on the road, including against this UTSA team that is picked second in the league. They went, Heather went with the computers, it feels like, here, over any sort of feel about what Memphis has got back and what UTSA has got back, because if you compare the two, especially offensively, you're going to lean Memphis, and that's why the media did the preseason poll.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So
I'm not mad at her because of that, are you? I mean, she took the computers are saying UTSA is going to go undefeated. You know, it's probably a pretty close margin.
Exactly.
Now, what I would ask you, though, John, this is where you can help me, is UTSA going to be favored in that game? And what would that – I'm assuming so, off the computers. The only thing that would change it maybe is what's happened before those games. But I got to imagine it's going to either be a slight to, you know, a pretty solid favorite, right, based on this information, where maybe you and I were saying before the season that, you know, Memphis would be the slight favorite.
Yeah.
Right, you know, coming off this, that's kind of what I took from this. If the computers are saying right now UTSA is going to win that game, you know, you figure Memphis is going to go into that game a slight underdog, at least based on what we know now.
Well, let's have a little fun. Let's do some math.
This is where you can help me.
So all we have is last year, but again, we can adjust and play with some numbers here. So last year, we're going to use Sagarin ratings here. Memphis had a Sagarin rating of 73. UTSA had a Sagarin rating of 71.5. So that means that Memphis was 1.5 points better on a neutral than UTSA, right? So
I'm following.
That would have, let's give UTSA 3 for home field. That would have UTSA minus 1.5 last year at home, right?
Yeah.
They lost everything.
Jeff Traylor.
They lost everything.
Who they clearly still believe in.
But they lost Frank Harris. They lost Quentin Cephas, you know, their top receiver.
Yeah.
And so I think quite frankly, you could adjust them down 3 points based on that. I think it's that big of a loss. I mean, a 6-year quarterback in Frank Harris, that's really hard to replace. You know, NFL, I mean, Cephas is in the NFL. He's playing for the Texans tonight.
I understand that.
So I'm adjusting UTSA down 3 points based on those departures. So I've already adjusted Memphis up 1.5 for their defense getting better. So I'll have Memphis at 74.5, just playing with numbers here, and I'll have UTSA at about 68. So I would have Memphis personally a short favorite at UTSA -1, -1.5.
Mark and remember it.
Now I don't know if it will be that. But,
yeah, obviously things could change. People get hurt and everything else. But
I mean, I think I'm not taking too many liberties here.
That's what I just gathered. I was following along very closely that you would still have Memphis, even having read this, and that the computers like UTSA, you would still have Memphis as the favorite. I think that's what I was interested in.
I would have Memphis as a short favorite on the road at UTSA based on what they lost. Yes, I mean I don't know who their I don't know who their backup is, but I just think when you lose the production that they lost on offense.
I mean, it seems obvious, but again, they got four first place votes. I know Memphis got 23, but whatever they've got, but you know, that they're pretty confident in Traylor and his ability to replace
right.
old 7-year man Frank Harris.
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. They're owed.
And they have, you know, it's a pretty big advantage. It's a substantial advantage of playing at home in that game against Memphis.
Yeah. Like you get that. Owen McCown is their quarterback. I think it's the son of Josh McCown. So they do bring back some pieces, in fairness. Like they bring back the running back, but they lost two of their best. In Cephas and Frank. So I'm going to adjust them down 2.5. And I'm pretty comfortable with that. I think it's a big downgrade at quarterback, quite honestly. So that's where I'm at.
I thought the computers would lean towards Memphis based on what it returns. And so I was a little bit surprised to see that was her reasoning and to see the computers.
Yeah.
Say that, you know, to have right now that they think UTSA is going to run
well,
the table.
Well, I tell
you. See, UTSA going to run the table. That's the first, you know.
Right. That seems extremely
We've unlikely. Had them in the mix and everything else, but nobody's come out and said UTSA is going to run the table in the American. So I was a bit surprised. Yeah, it was a little bit deflating not to see Memphis in there, but to see them pick UTSA is essentially going to go. They're going to go undefeated except for a loss at Texas. I mean, that's going to put them right there squarely, depending upon what Boise State does. That would give them a shot. That would give them a real shot. They're saying, you know, I don't know if you caught this either, but Heather Dinich is saying that the AAC. You know, champion's going to have an edge because Tulane, UTSA, Memphis are good, as opposed to Boise State is not going to face much competition in the Mountain West. But I'd still tell you that Washington State, Oregon State are still opportunities for L's there, even though it won't count on their conference schedule. You understand what I'm saying? They're still playing those two PAC teams. And so there's more out there. There's an opportunity there for loss. The other thing she said, John, and she confirmed a suspicion that I had. You and I talked about this. A Liberty team that is playing no one.
Right.
Again, no one that goes undefeated will not be taken over a one-loss Boise, a one-loss UTSA. Boise's got Oregon. That's their big one. You know?
Yep.
That, you know, obviously Memphis is Florida State. Her point is they're not going to do that. That this committee that's picking, they will not pick a Liberty team that's undefeated, has played no one in the non-conference, no one.
Yep.
Over a one-loss group of five champion that's lost to a real team. So that's a good thing. That's
it
a good
is.
Thing. She said basically she thinks that's assured, but yeah. we'll see.
But listen,
so I'm not worried about Liberty and going undefeated this year. Like I told you last year, but they were a fraud. You know, they it was proven in the bowl game.
Yeah, so that's good news. I mean,
that is good news.
It's a tough road, and you will have to win hard games on the road.
But it goes back sort of to what you said about, you know, yesterday we were talking about take care of your business. There are going to be some things you can't control. Obviously, having that sort of Liberty, because a lot of people have picked them. As the group of five representative, having that option, I think, you know, set to the side, we can't rule it out, but setting it to the side makes me feel better about, okay, win the AAC, run the table like they think UTSA is going to do. We think Memphis got a roster that could do it, and you're going to be there. You know, it's going to be either you or Boise State.
Right, right.
So I like our chances.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about a computer saying that UTSA is going to beat you. Down there. I think Memphis has got the goods.
Hey, listen, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun journey. It's going to be fun to follow along this year for Memphis football. But it's like Ice Cube once said, here's what they think about you. Here's what they think about you.
Ryan said he don't care anymore.
He said he's not.
After yesterday, the preseason's done. They're practicing. No more talk about CFP. No.
Got it.
He also said that maybe, you know, he could have been a break dancer in the Olympics. He got a little wild yesterday. Got a little Josh Pastner.
Yeah.
But he's feeling good, clearly. Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the top 25 list at the Daily Memphian. Get his thoughts on how that all went. Luke Kennard signed a deal. We'll break it all down with Drew Hill on the other side. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Best place to bet the games this summer is on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You should know that right now because new customers, you can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Why not put it on USA Basketball? That's a good bet here. We're not talking spreads. We're just talking W's, and certainly USA Basketball is going to do that. Then you can bet on all your favorite international teams if you like another, Germany perhaps, and all your favorite sports. We got not just basketball, but badminton, soccer, swimming, FanDuel's got it all, so go check it out. Don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. If your first bet wins, just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith. That's the promo code to get signed up. Start betting the games again. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online, real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He joins us every single Thursday, and he joins us now.
Well, Drew, it's finally over, and you've appropriately decided to take a long vacation as a result. Luke Kennard has signed up for 1 year with the Grizzlies. Were you expecting a longer deal? Like, just take me through your thoughts.
Well, maybe at first I was, given the situation with the team option there, and that was an expensive price, and you would think to get it back, it may take a multi-year deal. And then as things sort of went along, I started to hear the whispers that maybe this was going to be a per deal because the market for shooters wasn't exactly what everybody thought it might be, particularly specialists like Luke. And so in the end, I think this is a deal that makes sense because you just drafted two shooters. You're kind of hoping that they turn out to maybe be something along those lines, something like what Luke Kennard brings to the team. Obviously, he does it at an extremely high level, so for them to do that in year two would be a little surprising, but you hope it's not much of a drop-off if this is the final year of Luke in Memphis. The deal puts you $1 million over the tax line, but that isn't calculated until the end of the season, so you can still maneuver. I think it's a good deal for the Grizzlies. I think it's a win for all involved. And like that $11 million, who knows how much of that is like really $11 million and how much of it is just kind of agent speak there, because the Grizzlies aren't going to go $1 million over the tax. Like, if you come in under the tax, you get paid right at the end of the year. So it wouldn't make any sense for that to happen. But again, they could end up over the tax anyway if they perform really well and decide to get aggressive at the deadline. So this is a deal that, you know, maintains some flexibility, gets Luke back, who's a guy that you think you need. I think it was a good deal all around.
How likely, unlikely is it? What would be the scenario where after the season you would bring him back? He's a contributor in the playoffs, and then you're looking multi-year deal going forward? Or, you know, do you think with some of these other guys, I don't know, whether it's Vince, whether it's Gigi, whether LaRavia can show you that he can be consistent, do you think sort of with what's behind him and what they've got, I keep using the phrase coming down the pike. I wish I could find a different phrase that it makes it more unlikely that you're going to find after this season that you would re-sign him and bring him back.
Well, it's always hard to project, because if he does play really well, there's going to be, you know,
other suitors
to bring him back. And again, yes, there's going to be other suitors, and you're now paying all three of your stars.
Yes, sir.
And they're expensive. Yep. And so typically what happens when you're doing that is you lose a lot of your depth, and that you have to bank on those young guys filling in behind.
Absolutely.
A la the Denver Nuggets, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of the way you have to view it. I don't think you could rule it all the way out that he could come back, especially if he plays well and they feel like he's a very important piece to have, then maybe he is worth the price. But given all the other guys, I just don't know if he's going to be the most valuable of them or among them.
Yep.
If he proves to be that this season, then, yeah, you have those discussions. But I think it's probably more likely that this is probably it. That's the more likely scenario. It's not impossible, but it seems more likely that you're going to be banking on young guys going forward, because guys are going to have to get paid.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Are the Grizzlies coming into the season more overrated or underrated? Because we hear a lot of people, they're almost becoming like the popular pick, right? like, oh, watch out for the Grizzlies. Everybody's sort of starting to say that, right?
Are they?
I feel like maybe I'm just exposed to it, and that's why I'm like...
I feel like everybody, but I've heard it again.
It's starting to be like a popular thing. Strong,
but yeah, I've seen a few.
So you think they're going to come in more underrated than it sounds like?
I think they're rated pretty accurately.
Oh, wow.
Like, they should be the... Listen, they should be the team that... And I think this is where they stand right now, is everybody's saying, well, if they're healthy, they're going to be a 50-win team, right? Like, they're going to be... in that top six. And that's how I feel about the team. I don't, are they going to come out and be the number one team in the West? Like, that's getting aggressive, right? Given the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys on the Grizzlies don't typically play full seasons. Like, do you really think you're going to get 75 games out of Ja Morant? Probably not, right? Just because he plays so aggressively. That you would think that's probably more likely he might miss some time over the course of the season. You just hope he's healthy for the stretch run. And then Desmond Bane's a guy that's battled some injuries too. Like, I think that if the Grizzlies finish this season and they're in that, you know, 2-3-4 type of range, or honestly just in the top six where you're not having to do the play-in, I think any position along those lines is kind of where everybody thinks they'll be. That's where I think they will be at the end of the season. So I wouldn't say underrated or overrated. I mean, maybe people, and I saw Mike Miller, Ja's agent, obviously was doing a podcast with Shams, I believe, and kind of said, you know, how soon people forget that Ja is this tremendous basketball player. And that may be the aspect of the Grizzlies that is underrated at this moment. I think that people are forgetting just how great of a basketball player that Ja is at his zenith and when he's at his very best. And so maybe for that reason they're slightly underrated, but like if they're a top six team, then I feel like they're just coming in right where they're supposed to be. And I think that that's how most people view Memphis, even after a bad season last year. Maybe there's some people that are underrated
in that. You know, I know they'd like him to be a significant, you know, contributor to this rotation, but individually, too, it feels like Santi Aldama's got a lot on the line, not just for future potentially with Grizzlies, but even more so maybe with his NBA future. And that, you know, look, they don't, this is a prove it year. They haven't given you the contract extension. Feels sort of like, well, show us. And then you've sort of got, and Harrington kind of touched on too, I know you guys have talked about, like this elephant in the room possibly for him, that's Gigi Jackson, and a guy who can do a lot of the things that Santi can. I don't want to say there's pressure on him individually, but I got to think he's coming into this season looking like, look, I got to get it done, you know, whether it's for this team going forward or another team, I got to show this year. And then with that, it's going to become a sort of a pressure to perform, maybe an individual pressure to perform at a high level. What do you think about Santi's year and what he's got to prove?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I do think that in the end, Santi, even if it's not with Memphis, will find a landing spot.
There's enough there already.
The size and shooting. Mm-hmm. Like, size and shooting is something that everyone across the league wants.
Yeah.
Where Gigi has the leg up is that he rebounds the ball really well. Yep. when he's focused on that. You know, and that was a big emphasis at Summer League, was Gigi, you got to go rebound. Like, you need to prove it to us that you can be a rebounder. Kasanti has not proven that. Mm-hmm. He just has over the course of his career. So I think that Gigi is a step up on him in that way. And so the size and the shooting, though, somebody will take a chance on that. They just, NBA teams just almost always will. I do think it's an important season, though, in terms of staying with Memphis. You're right, because there are guys behind him, I guess. I mean, if you want to say Gigi's behind him, I don't necessarily know if that's the case.
Maybe not.
But there are guys that maybe haven't had as much opportunity as Santi has had in his career that look like they could steal his spot. So it is an important season for him. And I don't know, like, you know, I hope we don't overreact to the Olympic stuff, because he just plays such a different role for Spain. He's like pure scorer if you watch those games. They're like, thought, dude, go get buckets. Like, we need buckets. Like, we need somebody to go score. And he kind of just runs around on the perimeter. He's taking movement three and stuff like that for the Spanish national team. I don't know how much of that he's going to be doing for the Grizzlies. So I don't want to overinvest in something like that. But it's definitely, it's good personally that he's playing really well over there so far. Because, again, there will be an NBA team that sees that and says, well, look, he's performing really well on a big stage. I believe in Santi as an NBA player going forward. But do I believe in him as much as I believe in Gigi? I don't know. Gigi's been really, really good to this point.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I just think the writing's on the wall for him, but not, you know, no contract extension. You got Gigi in the house. And I only meant behind him, Drew, in the sense that, you know, what you've played, you know, so far. But yes, I mean, from day one, there's more talent clearly with Gigi Jackson. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, if we're setting this as a race, Gigi's ahead of him. But well, I think the writing's on the wall in terms of Santi's future with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I mean, you see it.
They are, the tax, if, who you got to pay with Jaren,
yeah,
what you have in Gigi and the deal you have him on. Drew, I'm with you. I'm not holding out hope here that Santi's going to play so well that he's getting some extension with the Grizzlies.
And the other thing, too,
I think it's done,
is if we were extrapolating, like, you know, international performances, Dennis Schroeder would be a 10-time NBA All-Star.
And you, right.
Yeah, you're, that's true.
And you know, you've continued to make the point. He played well last, FIBA?
World
he played
Cup.
Well.
Yeah, and it didn't, you know, the NBA game is just different.
Like
you
Drew
know
said, he's playing a different role for them.
Yeah, he is.
One thing that Santi does have going for him is that he's able to play with almost any big combination. And I think that is a positive, and that's because of the shooting, right? So that is one thing that is in his favor, for sure.
I need the rebounding, though.
Again, same can be said. Same can be said about Gigi. He can play with any big combination,
absolutely,
too.
So, yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting situation with him, too, because when you look at the other bigs on the floor, like, who do you trust Santi out there with, and do you trust him out there with Jaren? And if you think Jaren is going to be a future center, I know you just drafted Zach Edey. I don't know if I trust Santi and Jaren to be a good enough combination.
Two rebounds. Yeah, zero rebounds, but, you know, it's, I don't like that combo, particularly from a rebounding standpoint.
Yeah. Talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Okay, a couple of other things before we get you out of here. I posted the top 25, my personal top 25 ballot, and obviously what you find, we named our top five today. Our number one athlete, Ja Morant. That is our top Memphis athlete of the since 2000. Jason shaking his head. He says it should have been Riley Ferguson, and I think he's got a case, but I don't think there's a lot of controversy in the top five. What you find, Drew, and I'm just curious if you went through this as well, it's like, this is impossible, man. Because, like, some people are, like, tethered to each other. Like, if I include this person, well, I got to include this person, too. And you only have 25 spots. So it really is a damn impossible task.
Yeah, well, it was an even more impossible task for somebody that got to Memphis in 2018, right? Like, it is so hard because I can't replicate the feelings that the 2008 Tigers had on the city, right? I just can't do that. I didn't live through the core four. I didn't do that. Like, I wasn't here for it. I didn't feel the impact that it had on the city of Memphis. And so it was really, really challenging. And story time. So I used to vote in the AP Top 25 when I was a Tigers beat writer. And I was terrified that I was going to be part of a Gary Parrish poll with Axe column. That was like my goal. The whole season was like, all right, I need to pay enough attention to this that Gary doesn't attack me because I'm a local guy and I don't need that smoke and I just don't want it. So I used to check all the other top 25s out there.
It makes you better. It makes you better. I was in the same shoes.
Right.
Yep.
To double check, right?
Mm-hmm.
This I didn't worry about whatsoever. I just threw caution to the wind. Because I was like, I'm never going to be able to really know. I wasn't a part of it. So I just kind of eyeball tested it, and I went based off of who I hear about the most still to this day as part of the sports culture of the city and being around people that have covered those teams, and like kind of just went through. And I ended up with a lot of the 2008 Tigers on the list. I definitely left out some like I had Matt Cain way too low. I realized that after the fact. I didn't feel great about it, but the top five I do feel great about, and I do feel great about Ja at number one, because I know people try to make the list whatever they want, and if you're going to go based off of most accomplished, I think Marc Gasol has to be number one, honestly, or D'Angelo. Those are like the only two options.
Yeah.
Ja, at this point, the numbers are fantastic, by the way. The guy's been an all-pro. He's a two-time all-star already. He set all kinds of scoring records for the franchise. He's been tremendous in the playoffs. But Ja is the deserving number one, in my opinion, because I have seen, and maybe this is recency bias, and I'm admitting to this, right? I'm admitting my recency bias because I've only been here since 2018. But I have watched the Grizzlies transform since his rookie year. I started his rookie year, and I have seen things change so much since he got to Memphis and became a part of this franchise, because he is so globally popular, from the highlights to the shoes to everything, that I went from traveling on the road in his second season and, you know, covering some of his games as he was this rising star, to now you go on the road, like, as soon as 2 years ago, obviously he was hurt all last year, and, like, you go to Madison Square Garden or you go to Indianapolis, and there are hundreds of number 12 jerseys in the stands. Like, in Memphis, we get frustrated when there's a ton of Warriors fans or Lakers fans to take over FedEx Forum during those games. I can tell you, that is happening other places that the Grizzlies go to, because there are Ja Morant fans everywhere. And I think Memphis has never had a global superstar of his status. In the sports realm, obviously. And I don't know if they ever will have a superstar of his status again. It may be a long time before that happens. And so to me, Ja was the clear number one answer. He has turned the Grizzlies into something that they were not before. And I know that the core four meant a ton to the city. They were more accomplished. They went to conference finals and all that.
Right.
Ja hasn't done that yet. But right. Ja's impact flat as an athlete is greater than any athlete on that list. And so to me, that was why he was the deserving number one. I think I know I voted him number one. John, did you vote him number one as well?
I did. I posted my ballot on Twitter, because I want all the smoke. Again, I realized there were a few omissions on my part, but I feel pretty comfortable with my list. I had Ja 1, Mark 2, Zach 3, D-Rose 4, D'Angelo 5. That was my top five. And we can argue about the order, but those are definitely the top five. And again, like, you go through these, like, I was surprised Desmond Bane did not make our list. You know, I voted Desmond Bane. Did you vote Desmond Bane?
I don't remember.
So you didn't. Honestly. You didn't.
He was on the fringe. I remember he was on the fringe. I know Jaren made my list. When I was comparing Bane and Jaren made the list because he's won a Defensive Player of the Year and because he's been an all-star. And so he made the list. He's also, like, you know, again, I know we're ranking athletes, but from a impact in the city perspective, I think Jaren represents the Grizzlies in a way that no other player represents the Grizzlies when it comes to his work with the Players Association, his work in the community, his advocacy for very good causes, like all of that I did take into account with Jaren as well. The list was kind of make it what you want, right?
Yeah.
And I will not be posting my ballot for full transparency because I'm probably the reason a lot of this got screwed up. Again, I'm admitting to that. There's a lot of recency bias that went into my vote.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
and that's
but
tough.
Yeah, I was slightly surprised about Bane.
Yeah, I had Jaren 16 and I had Bane 17. I had Bane pretty high. He's the best shooter the Grizzlies have, and he's, you know, one of the best shooters they've ever had, and he's one of the best shooters in the NBA. You know, and he will be critical to a run. If and when the Grizzlies ever do make it, and so you know, it's hard for me to have Ja and not Jaren and Desmond. You know, it's like we have the whole core four. You know.
I don't think, tell me if you think I'm wrong. I really don't think you can go wrong with the top three as long as it is Ja, Mark, and D'Angelo. And, like, if you wanted to go four and go to Zebo, I think you probably could. But D'Angelo, I just did a quick search on him. I obviously wasn't here for that, but unbelievable, right? And a lot of people talk, you still hear about him all the time around the Memphis football program. So I think
I had D'Angelo fifth. I was a little lower. I was a little lower on D'Angelo than others. I had him fifth. I had D. Rose ahead of D'Angelo. You know, and maybe that's like my Memphis basketball bias there. But I mean, it's also impossible for me to forget about the potential that you felt with D. Rose. Like, you could win a championship with D. Rose. You could not win a championship with D'Angelo Williams, right? And although D'Angelo was individually as accomplished as it gets, first team All-American, you know, the Heisman campaign, the team success, I feel like, hurts him. You know, they didn't win a bowl game, right? Like, there was something missing, right? They weren't winning conference championships. So that's kind of where I kind of docked D'Angelo for that in terms of the top five.
Yeah, I get that.
But individually amazing, and maybe that shouldn't have been taken into consideration. I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, we can all argue about this. Now, Jason, can you come in here? I know you did not submit your ballot yet, but who do you think should have been number one?
I am Drew. I want you to know we're protesting this list for no Thaddeus Young. Barrett Jones should be on this list. Michael Orr, Dontari Poe as well, several omissions. You are great. You're right when it comes to, you know, 08 and Memphis basketball around here. But in terms of, like, your remembrance of it and all that, I mean, that wasn't, you know, you weren't here for the feels and all that. However, I've always considered you a fantastic football, you know, brain when it comes to your opinion on things. And so I'm a little disappointed that you didn't. I mean, who's gone higher than Dontari Poe, than, you know, number 11 in the first round? I think he was an all-pro, also a pro bowler. Come on, we got to get our football guys in there, Drew. Alabama, Barrett Jones, and your connections there. Nobody, you know, you could argue best freaking college career of anybody, you know, around in terms of college football. I just, come on, man. Where was my football, Drew, and so with some
so
of these guys?
Let me do a slight defense
Barrett?
Of myself. Barrett, so we were given a list of names.
That's like what John keeps names. Telling me. And Thaddeus wasn't on it, and that's part of why John omitted him.
No, Thaddeus got
he?
Added
okay.
late. He did get added late. He may have been on my ballot. He would have been towards the
sure.
back end.
Just needs to be toward top 25, yes.
But, yeah, no. Barrett Jones never even got brought up. And to be honest, I was unaware that Barrett Jones played in Memphis.
Well, that's understandable.
Alabama. Of course, things like that are going to happen. And again, like, I had to base things off of what I hear from other people, right?
You're in a tough spot. I'm not holding you accountable for this. Yeah. John is more he's the guy who lived through it. But I've given it to him, and I've given it to Jeff. I don't need to give it to you. You're not responsible for this. You weren't here.
Dontari Poe was awesome.
Yes, he was.
And I think that was a bad miss on the part of everybody. And, you know, there are some other athletes on there. It's just hard because you run out of space.
Right.
Like, that's what you figure out as you start to try to do it, is that if this was a list that went to 35 – we would have been golden.
People would still, you know, say that we left somebody out. I mean, that's the thing, right?
Well, and that's why I told David Boyd, as I was telling him about my protest, who you all know well. I said, the endeavor created what you want, which is the conversations about mm-hmm. these, and then the nostalgia from going back and talking about how much D'Angelo meant to the 08 team and everything else. So the endeavor, as well, and it ended up being a good thing, because that's what you do. You get folks talking about it, you get the conversations going, and that's what you're looking for in the first place.
Yeah, I think that also, as I did the exercise, you do feel some external pressure to include a diverse base of athletes in the top 25.
Yeah, like women specifically.
You got to include Olympians, and you got to include baseball players, and you got like. You're trying to take into account some prep stuff, and
drivers.
Like, you're trying to spread the love out.
Right, like exactly.
Ricky Stenhouse. Yeah. Exactly. I know exactly.
Like he won one thing, and it's like, you know, it was a big thing, but it was one thing. You know?
Right.
Like that's like I mean, that's like a flash in the pan.
Have you seen him throw a punch?
Yeah, like I mean again,
not an athlete.
And then like people are saying that Austin Riley's not a Memphis athlete.
Oh, Austin Riley counts now. He was born in Memphis.
Right.
Yes. He counts all day.
And he went to DeSoto.
DeSoto Central. County counts, yes.
So
all day.
I mean,
you gotta have Austin Riley in there.
I mean Ricky Stenhouse has won some events.
Bro.
But you know, again, it's like
athlete.
Right. That's tough.
I would question it.
That's tough. I agree.
The car is doing the work.
Well, he's
understand that. And he ain't even working on the engine. He's got a crew.
Right.
You understand that?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's hard.
A 17-year NBA career, you understand? We're getting behind the wheel of a car that's been fixed up for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare in terms of greatest athlete.
Exactly.
You get that, right? Yeah.
No, and look.
And that's why I will protest this list forever.
We also, you know, when you open it up to prep stuff as well, it becomes, like, a big challenge. Think what about James Wiseman, right? Mm-hmm. No one even thought about putting James Wiseman on the list because it was such a mess what happened at the University of Memphis, right? But he won a ton of championships and was the number one player in the country at East. Like, he was one of the best prep basketball players ever in the city. Like, why didn't he make the list? You know, it was an idea of one Jeff Calkins.
Yeah.
And it ended up being quite the challenge to figure out, which is why I am not sweating about my ballot at all. It's a list, and who cares?
If I could go back and redo it, I would take Rachel Heck off my list.
You would?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just she
called a stray. I don't think.
Well, I mean, like I felt pressure to include Rachel Heck. I'm not gonna lie, and I don't think she really belongs. I mean, she's not. She had a great college career, but she's not even playing. She's not even going pro. Like she's retiring.
Yes, Brian, I talked about
it. It was too short a stint.
She's had some injuries too that I've heard.
You know, again, everybody has a reason, but I think Tony Pollard belonged there over Rachel Heck for me, and that was a mistake. That was a mistake. That was probably my biggest mistake, if I'm being honest. But again, you know, got to have some diversity, as you said.
Drew,
so.
None of this matters. Bears football is here. We just don't get starters tonight. Are you excited?
I would say I am moderately excited. I don't know. I will watch it. Maybe not tonight. I might honestly just record it and watch it later. But it's football, and this starts a run where we get football all the way up until, February. So that's what I'm excited about. And I'm really excited for Hard Knocks. Like, that's what I'm fired up about. I cannot wait to see Caleb and Rome and all those guys in Hard Knocks. I've got my Caleb Williams jersey. It came in. It was a birthday gift from my wife.
Wow.
So shout out to her. I'm ready to go, and I'm a believer now. I'm a believer, Jason. I've been converted.
You know, the guy that gets me every time, we saw a little bit in the Giants one, Romo Odunze, man. Oh, my goodness. I think we are just blessed there. He's going to be a number one, but playing with another number one in DJ, what, for the next 4 to 5 years? Like, I think we got an absolute steal in Romo Odunze. He takes over a room. There's something about him. Drew, I don't know if you watch the Giants thing, but even in the interviews, when he's interviewing with the Giants, dude, pro looks like to me. Oof.
Yeah, he just seems really smart.
Yes,
right?
He does.
Very, very calculated.
Yes, man.
And I like that about him for sure. I like that it seems like all the guys like Caleb. I've been following all of it, man. I cannot wait for Hard Knocks. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I might shed a tear when that Hard Knocks theme comes on and I see the Chicago Bears on it. I've been a Hard Knocks fan for a long time. Like, I am dialed in.
I'm with you.
Every episode on Tuesday, the moment it comes out, even if it's not the Bears, I'm dialed in. I've watched all the
NBA I can't say that. Wow.
I've watched them
That's
all.
A real dedication.
I love some Hard Knocks, and so I cannot wait to see the Bears on Hard Knocks.
Well, I've got the first half over. Let's hope for some good weather. Tyson.
Why are you betting an over in the Hall of Fame? Are you just are that much of a Tyson Bagent believer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna. They're gonna be. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's 15, bro. It's 15. They're gonna score 17 in the first half.
The problem with the old secret Bagent man is he's not a secret anymore. Like the secret's out. People have seen him.
No, we'll move the chains, bro.
Okay,
we'll move the chains. Right. I'm not worried about it. Plus, Davis Mills threw three picks against y'all in 2022. It's his revenge game. His revenge game, Davis Mills. So it's going to be a high-scoring affair.
Davis Mills, by the way.
He ended up winning that game, did he? Exactly. Is that the same game he won, Drew?
Yes.
That gave us the number one pick.
Yes. Thank you. The Bears have the number one pick. Fun fact, because he converted that fourth and a million.
Yep.
Yep, and Lovey. And at fourth and a million to beat the Colts.
It was that game,
and the Texans gave the Bears the number one selection.
That's what gave us the number one pick, bro.
And DJ Moore.
Otherwise,
and DJ Moore. He's the reason they have DJ Moore.
You're exactly right. You are exactly right. Which, I mean, it set our future, basically, is what it did. That and Lovey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.